T-minus 11. Ford McCarthy Residence, Birchwood, Colorado. Now that an opportunity for real action had presented itself, and something was being done about Piper's predicament, namely Dan's attempt to find an appropriate device on New Caer Glen capable of removing her powers without risking her physical well-being, the mood in Birchwood was somewhat more relaxed. This was odd in two senses, given that Dan was engaging in a highly risky trip to an unsettled world experiencing political and social turbulence of its own, and that twice as many of the family members left behind in Birchwood were currently uplifted than had been the case earlier in the day. But as had been the case in other difficult times, there really was nothing worse than the feelings of impotence that came with an absolute lack of meaningful options. Anxiousness was better than helplessness, and Emma's faith that Dan would come through, with some help from Leisha and likely Sacco, left her mind more at ease than it had been since Piper's powers first became apparent. Clark, the only other person who'd been there for Piper's initial telekinetic display, didn't quite see things the same way and felt helpless in a very different manner now that Dan's physical safety was entirely out of his hands. He trusted Leisha, particularly after what the alien had done for him in Buenos Aires, but being completely out of contact with them was tough for him to deal with. Once Phil Norris and Mr. Bird left, for their homes rather than New Caer Glen, due to how late it had gotten while all the alien drama was making it feel like time was standing still, Henry McCarthy was close behind them in retiring next door. None of them had to explicitly promise they would stay quiet about what they'd seen and heard. More than ever, the importance of this truly went without saying. Timo Fiori remained for the night and agreed with Emma to sit down in the morning to concoct a plan for reaching his place in Colorado Springs, right next to the famous Fiori Frontieri HQ, without being noticed on his way out of Birchwood. There was also a hotel checkout to take care of at the New York Gravison, as well as the return of his luggage and possibly an explanation to his assistants as to how and why he had made the trip to Colorado so quickly. These small and manageable tasks further relaxed Emma, giving her something tangible to think about and execute, instead of simply waiting and waiting for a return from New Caer Glen that seemed more likely to be days away rather than hours. Tara, empowered by Alicia and implored by the others to act responsibly when they weren't looking, was likewise pleased to have something to do. Thinking of Dan walking around without her on New Caer Glen didn't bring any hints of jealousy, but she certainly wished she could have been there to help in any way she could. Leaving Emma and Piper just hadn't been an option, though. Not when Dan was gone. Clark was good for a lot of things, but providing certain kinds of emotional support wasn't always one of them. What Clark did provide support for, very keenly, were the various tests Timo had long been dreaming up for the uplift powers. Having access to someone with the powers had been a pipe dream for the billionaire for so long that he could hardly believe it had come to pass, and particularly that the uplifted individual in question was someone as cooperative and curious about it all as Tara. Emma permitted a few short tests with Piper, not on her, before retiring to bed. These simply involved holding her little hand in the activation position while Tara performed the same gesture. Unlike Leisha, however, Tara didn't flinch at an overwhelming deluge of unfocused thoughts coming from the baby. Instead, she gasped and smiled as two clear words came through. The words, "Dada here," didn't make perfect sense by any means, but the meaning behind them was clear enough.
"Dada will be back here soon," Tara replied out loud.
Emma, holding Piper in her arms, smiled even wider than Tara.
"Did you really hear something?"
Tara nodded.
"Yeah. We know she thinks, right? So it makes sense. She just said Dada here, and it definitely felt like a question."
"Greater X," Timo blurted out as the thought came to him. He dashed to the bag Phil had left on the couch, moving faster than anyone had ever seen him move before, and wasted no time in placing it directly onto Tara's head. She adjusted it for comfort and asked him to make sure it was switched to transmit mode, which would emit a signal in much the same way as roof-based home-proofing systems designed to block telepathic intrusion. Satisfied that it was, Timo stepped back.
"I need her finger again,"
Tara said, urging Emma to gently touch Piper's seemingly willing finger and thumb together. She then pointed her own finger at the baby and tapped her chest with her free hand several times.
Piper? Am I Mama? Mama?
Everyone heard Piper say Tata and saw her smile, but Tara's far bigger smile indicated that she'd heard more.
Does it work? Emma asked, letting Piper's fingers go free again.
No,
Tara said, sorry to have given that impression.
I was smiling because she said, no, you Tata. Not just Tata like you all heard, her thoughts are really coming through. Her brain is trying to put little sentences together already. She just can't say them yet.
Emma kissed Piper on the head and announced that she was going to try to get her settled after all the late night excitement.
Thanks for doing this, she said to Tara. Really, I don't know what you can actually do with it for Piper, but I appreciate it.
It's nothing, Tara said.
She was tempted to remotely open Piper's bedroom door, but thought better of it, knowing that Emma would probably be annoyed rather than impressed or appreciative of that. Once Emma was gone, though, first to put Piper down and then to her own bed, Tara sidled up beside Timo at the kitchen table and asked what tests were next. For his part, Timo was desperately tempted to ask for permission to call his close friend and employee Alessandro Bonucci, discoverer of Comet Il Diavolo, to ask what kind of harmless research he would have conducted if he was sitting in front of a telepathic Tara Ford. Now that the greater X question had been settled, talk turned to the greatest of all anti-telepathy fearmongers, one whose company had recently popularized that old device in a viral post after months of hysterically ranting about the dangers of telepathic intrusions.
I'm not going to lie to you, the Italian said. But Tara, there's a big part of me that wants to get you in a room with Jan Geller like Dan got himself in front of John Cole and the Geosovs last year. There's so much more going on with Blitz and its new financial backers than anyone realizes, and even though I've seen enough to know there's a curtain hiding their real motives, I still don't know what's behind it.
It worked when Dan did it,
Tara mused, turning to Clark for his reaction.
But, Timo jumped back in before Clark could reply.
I'm not actually suggesting it. That's the problem with power like this. It's so tempting to push the boundaries. I'm not saying it necessarily corrupts, but I'm feeling the temptation right now and I don't even have the power.
Yeah, I don't think so, Clark chimed in. It would be some kind of karma since Geller has been so hysterical about the powers, but we don't want to be as bad as her. Dan had to do it last year because things were going to hell. Geller is an asshole, but we handled her okay on the show without any powers. And just imagine if you did something that let it slip. I don't even want to think about it. We want these powers gone, from you and from Piper. Not in the headlines even more than they already are.
Timo nodded.
Agreed. If we knew they would be responsibly applied, the positive applications of this technology would be absolutely remarkable. Infants like Piper, older children and adults with speech issues. So many people could benefit. We would even have instant language translation before long. But in reality, it would be used for a lot of the things Geller has ranted about, overreaching law enforcement, commercial and political espionage, and I've even read about hypothetical advertising applications which would see your mind scanned in public places so suitable ads could be delivered to your phone based on your current desires. It does sound hellish, and that's where it would go. With a power like this, everyone is going to think about how they can use it to get more of what they want. For us, that may be more knowledge, but for too many others, it is more power and more money.
The telekinesis is pretty cool, though, Tara said. Can we play with that for a little while?
Do you want me to put an apple on my head so you can see if you can knock it off? Clark asked, forcing the words out through spurts of barely controllable laughter.
I would actually very much like it if we could test the strength of that power, Timo said more seriously. Alessandro has long theorized that an individual endowed with the power may only be able to telepathically move an object they would be able to move without the power. We have seen Leisha pull a drone from the sky, for instance, but Alessandro's theory would doubt he could do the same to a plane or a helicopter. It's all speculation for now, of course, but for however long Dan is gone, we have the chance to put it to the test.
For the next half hour, until she felt moderate discomfort behind her eyes, Tara graduated from moving tins and bottles from the kitchen cupboards all the way to large cushions and ultimately a chair. It got harder as she went, and Timo devised a simple method to prove that this was due solely to the object's increasing mass rather than fatigue playing a part too. Once Tara reached an object she couldn't lift or move, he asked her to try the previous one again. Clark, no stranger to weight training, approved of this method. Tara showed no signs of fatigue, with the second heaviest object no harder to move on the 10th attempt than the first. It wasn't strictly scientific data, but Alessandro would surely be interested to hear it. When the strength tests were done, Timo moved on to dexterity tests and asking Tara to try to move individual grains of rice from a small pile on the table. She managed with ease, showing herself able to slide a grain through the pack by pulling it along the table and also able to lift it into the air and drop it somewhere else. As the night wore on and rice danced in the air in Birchwood, Tara and her two capable experimentation assistants all hoped behind their smiles that Dan was having a far more productive time than they were.